Books on Tape presents Rule Number 1, the simple strategy for successful investing in only 15 minutes a week, by Phil Town, read by Mark Cashman. Introduction. Make money, no matter what. Change your thoughts, and you change your world. Norman Vincent Peale, 1898 to 1993. This book is a simple guide to returns of 15% or more in the stock market, with almost no risk. In fact, Rule Number 1 investing is practically immune to the ups and downs of the stock market. And by the end of this book, I'll have proved it to you. Rule Number 1 investing is important today for many reasons, the least of which being that baby boomers currently have an average of about $50,000 in the bank to retire on 20 years from now. They think they need $1 million, but aren't going to get there. Younger generations have a hard time paying off debt, saving money, and even thinking about investing on their own in the market. If people do nothing but invest in low-risk government bonds that pay about 4%, they're guaranteeing themselves a stressful retirement. On the other hand, striving for a 15% return by guessing what to invest in, speculating, in investor speak, is a guaranteed way to lose money. Rule Number 1 solves the problem of how to get high returns with low risk, and it can get you to retirement a lot sooner with a lot less money than you imagine. I didn't invent the rule. It was first set by Columbia University's Benjamin Graham, and then, more famously, adhered to by Graham's student and the world's most successful professional investor, Warren Buffett. According to Buffett, there are only two rules of investing. Rule Number 1, don't lose money. And Rule Number 2, don't forget Rule Number 1. The reason I'm writing about the rule is that I'm not a Buffett or a Graham. If you have to be a genius to use the rule, there's not much point in writing about it, is there? I'm an ordinary person just like you. I like things simple and straightforward. I didn't go to business school or work on Wall Street. I learned how important the rule is in the school of hard knocks. If you could invest without the danger of losing your money, wouldn't you be more willing to take control and do it yourself? Because the answer to that question is obviously yes, I get invited to show at least 500,000 people a year how easy it is to apply Rule Number 1. I've been speaking about Rule Number 1 on Peter Lowe's Monster Arena Tour, Get Motivated, where I'm introduced as the man who's taught more people how to invest than anyone in the country. On that tour, I've shared arena stages with Rudy Giuliani, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Margaret Thatcher, Colin Powell, Mikhail Gorbachev, and General Tommy Franks, and spoken to more than 2 million people about the rule. Now it's time for me to finally reach you. Before I learned Rule Number 1 and started touring, I mostly got dirty for a living and didn't dare dream of buying expensive real estate or traveling the world in luxury. I dug ditches, washed rental equipment, pumped gas, drove trucks, bussed tables, and machined leg braces. I was an average high school student, and it took me 4 tries to get through college. During my nearly 4 years in the Army, I spent 2 years with Special Forces, aka the Green Berets, and 4 months in Vietnam. On March 1, 1972, I finished my military service in Vietnam and returned to the United States. On my last day in the Army, I was walking through SeaTac Airport in Seattle, proudly wearing my uniform and green beret, when a man ran up, spat on me, and ran off. I'd been away from the United States so long that I had no idea how much Americans despised me for what I'd been sent overseas to do. After years of serving my country, it took me only a few days as a civilian to discover that many people thought I was a fool, or worse, for putting my life on the line. I felt unemployable, but I finally found a job as a river guide. And after a couple of years of guiding in California, Utah, and Idaho, I ended up in the Grand Canyon. By then, my hair was as long as everyone else's. I wore black leather, grew a goatee, lived in a teepee in the woods near Flagstaff, Arizona, and drove around on a really loud black Harley-Davidson, scaring people. I was as far from Wall Street and the world of investing as possible. I was still getting dirty for a living. Except now, I had an attitude. Life changed in 1980, when I took the trustees from Outward Bound down the canyon for 2 weeks. Outward Bound is an educational program that challenges people of all ages in various settings, usually in adventurous wilderness expeditions, so that they learn about teamwork, leadership, building a better world, self-discovery, and so on. Because Outward Bound makes the participants do all their own work, we decided to do the same to the trustees. Instead of rowing them down the river, we put them on small rafts and forced them to do most of the paddling. After 7 days, we got to Crystal, the nastiest rapid in the Grand Canyon. 80,000 cubic feet of water per second crashes into a granite wall, turns 90 degrees, and drops 35 feet. At the wall, the drop and the volume of water creates a huge recirculating hole, famously known as the hole. In all my trips down the canyon, I'd never been near that hole, and the only person I knew who had, well, he'd barely gotten out alive. He'd emerged with deep lacerations and almost a broken back. We always maneuvered the boats way to the right of the hole and snuck by it. But this time, we were paddling, and I needed my crew's help to drive the boat to the right side of the river. We started off okay, drifting down the right side. But when I told my charges to paddle for the right shore, we went nowhere. In fact, we kept drifting closer and closer to the hole. Paddle faster, harder, your lives depend on it. But we just kept going backwards toward the hole. Then I told my guys to paddle as if my life depended on it, and all that did was get them banging paddles against one another. They were all sucking wind, and meanwhile, we were still going backwards. There was nothing to do but turn the boat around and hit the hole straight on. That way, maybe only some of us would die. Just then, I noticed a little seam of water between the wall and the hole, and I screamed over the noise of the rapids for my crew to paddle toward the upper edge of the hole as hard as they could. I thought maybe we could surf the wave off the base of the cliff. It was a total long shot, and I had a flash of us getting crushed against the cliff before drowning in the hole. Maybe the guy saw it too, or maybe they finally realized the hole was the end. Either way, they suddenly made that paddle boat fly, and we skidded along the lip of the hole. We all stared for a moment down into its open vortex like mice looking into a washing machine. To this day, I don't understand how we managed to slide past that rapid. We hit that little seam of water perfectly, missed the wall, missed the hole, and came out the other side. And we didn't even get wet. Very exciting. When we came ashore, one of the guys vomited while I had to explain to the owner of the company, who happened to be along on the trip, why it wasn't really my fault that I'd just taken six of his VIPs on a joyride to the edge of disaster. Later that evening, one of the rafters gave me a bear hug, eyes full of emotion, and said, "How can I thank you for saving my life?" I didn't have the heart to tell him I'd nearly killed him. This man, a guy I'll call the Wolf because his surname roughly translates as Wolf, was a self-made millionaire. Naturally, as he was talking and thanking me, I was thinking he was going to give me some money for saving his life. Instead, he started into the old feed a man a fish story. You know, feed a man a fish, you fed him for a day, teach a man to fish, you fed him for a lifetime. I wasn't really listening. He could keep the fish. I just wanted the money. But he'd made up his mind to teach me how to invest, and he wasn't accepting complete apathy and a bad attitude for an answer. Around the fire that night, He asked me...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?